Lord, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Jesus said, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple." In the 21st century, we sometimes lull ourselves into seeing Jesus as uniformly positive and gentle, like a kind of holy Hallmark card, or a holy and unyieldingly cheerful preschool teacher. This gospel immediately corrects that error. These harsh words are painful to hear, and they're difficult to understand. What value could hate have in the kingdom of God? And why would Jesus want us to be capable of hating the people in our own families? I knew I was going to preach on this passage for the last 2 weeks, so I've been going through the world with these words echoing in my brain as I negotiate my days. Unless you hate, unless you hate. I've been waiting for grace to crack open these words with an experience, or a story, or a memory. And on Friday morning, grace finally whispered back. Oddly enough, I was running on the elliptical machine at HealthWorks Gym with Jesus' words jogging with me, unless you hate, unless you hate, unless you hate. When I looked up to see two flat-screen TVs directly across from me. On one of them, a news station was silently carrying stock images of Mother Teresa in its story, because Mother Teresa is being canonized by the Roman Catholic Church today. And the buildup of that news was already starting on Friday morning, even in the secular world. And then on the other screen, immediately next to that, a soundless version of Sandra Bullock's 2009 film, The Blind Side, about Michael Orr's rise from a homeless boy to being a member of the American football team, was playing. Both of them next to each other. And just like that, in their silence, with their close-ups of human faces, those screens suddenly looked more like modern icons than entertainment centers. And I finally heard something inside those words that I've been listening to hear for the past 2 weeks. Seeing Mother Teresa's face was the most helpful, because it dawned on me that Mother Teresa would understand Jesus' words. She preached love and understanding, and she served the poorest of the poor in Calcutta and other parts of India. But a notebook published after her death confirmed that her love of the poor was often accompanied by an anger that other people like us, were so comfortable ignoring the poor or indifferent to the poor according to her standards. Her insight into God's love of the poor made her deeply impatient with the rest of us. One of her coworkers said of her, "She's a ray of intense light, that Mother Teresa." And suddenly, as I looked at that flat-screen TV, I could imagine Mother Teresa's love of the poor making her restless and impatient and disappointed with most of us. One of her most famous quotations is, "If you judge people, you have no time to love them. If you judge people, you have no time to love them." And I'd only thought of her offering that sentence to us as a way for her to teach us not to judge the poor, but to serve them. However, saying, if you judge people, you have no time to love them, might also have been her outspoken advice to herself when she encountered people who were comfortable with her own indifference to the desperately poor. She might have been saying that famous sentence to herself when people mobbed her and praised her and took selfie photos with her to celebrate the good she was doing, rather than taking on the burden of doing some of that good themselves. So as the Roman Catholic Church celebrates Mother Teresa today and elevates her to sainthood, this is an appropriate day for us to reflect on that fierce love and that fierce disappointment. Perhaps two sides of the same coin. She served in her ministry for 60 years, and she founded an order, the Missionaries of Charity, which this year alone has 4,500 religious sisters working with the world's poor all over the world. Someone with that much zeal might have a hatred for human failings every bit as deep as her compassion for human vulnerability and human brokenness. And in that gym on Friday, last Friday, those two flat screen TVs, the silent one with Mother Teresa's face and the soundless one of the blind side, they were pointing me towards something more as well. Mother Teresa liked to say, there are no great acts, just small acts with great love. And right next to those stock image of her face and her iconic body bending in prayer, the blind side was playing out the same message on that other flat TV screen. It was telling the particular story of Leanne Toohey, played by Sandra Bullock in the movie, who changes her life and a homeless boy's life and the profile of American football when one night, driving her son home from his private Christian school, she pulls over and offers a ride and a bed to a cold and homeless classmate of her son's. One spontaneous act, one compassionate moment, one car door opening, and transformations even more fantastic than TV screens becoming temporary modern icons light up this film. Desperately poor Michael Orr begins to live in a mansion. He gets tutored by private tutors and school teachers. He finds a family to love him. He becomes a world-class football talent. And he even gets an enormous black truck for his 18th birthday when he gets his license. It's the stuff of fairy tales, if you're a cynic. But it's the stuff of the gospel, if we're paying attention. If the cliche is true, if it's better to light a candle than curse the darkness, then it's also true that before we light that candle, we have to recognize that we are standing in darkness. Leanne Toohey, the real woman who offered Michael Orr a meal and a ride, recognized that she was standing in the dark one day. She became deeply disappointed in herself and her community, and she opened the car door and lit a candle. So Jesus' words would ring true for her and for all of us who love this film, The Blind Side. Leanne hated her own life and her old choices enough to try on a radical welcome for Michael, Big Mike in the film. And her family rose to the occasion and took risks and faced down the racism and the bitterness, the haters in their community, to keep offering their radical welcome to Michael until all their lives were transformed for the better. Millions of Americans love that film, and I'm one of them. But this film, in its own way, asks us to hate the indifference in ourselves and our families. And it asks us to follow the gospel, even into uncomfortable places. I don't think it's a coincidence that the school that Leanne Toohey's son, that Big Mike, attended, was a Christian school. I think the fact that it was a Christian school is a core part of this story. Our Old Testament lesson says it best this morning. Like Jeremiah's potter with his clay, we are all works in progress on God's potter's wheel. And there's time for the clay to soften and to be reformed. There's time to become something new. God is not finished with any of us yet. And his love, sometimes a divine love that's also divinely impatient for us to understand, is ready to crack us open to a deeper love and a deeper life. In our lessons today, we're called to love life and love and justice enough to allow ourselves to become disappointed in our own behavior when we fall short of God's kingdom. Disappointment makes room for transformation. A momentary hate, focused in the right way, can make room for new beginnings. When we discover we're standing in the dark, we have to hate the darkness before we can recognize that we need a light. And if we're looking for a light, we will find one. Grace can light a candle even in the most unlikely places, the most unexpected places. And then we'll see the invitation or a possible transformation that we didn't see before. Then we can take the first step with God's help to a deeper love, a deeper justice, a deeper life. I came that you might have life, says Jesus, and have it abundantly. Amen.